It's not as scary on this Halloween to come dressed as the U.S. budget deficit.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll have the global perspective on business and economics in a minute. But first, the gap between what America brings in and what it spends is at its least terrifying level in 5 years. There's news the deficit has dropped below $1 trillion, which hasn't happened since 2008. The deficit is now $680.3 billion, if you like significant digits. Marketplace's David Weinberg is here live with some context.
So we got to this five-year low partly because more people are working, so that's more tax revenue. And remember all those across-the-board spending cuts that were part of sequestration? That helped reduce things on the spending side. So here's where you might be wondering why it's good for the U.S. to reduce its deficit. Well, keeping that deficit low, it's key to maintaining the U.S.'s good credit rating. And we rely on that good credit to borrow money so we can pay our bills. And the better our credit, the lower our interest rates. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office predicts that the interest payments on our debt alone will exceed $5 trillion over the next 10 years. That's more than 14% of all the revenue the U.S. is expected to take in that decade.
Marketplace's David Weinberg, thank you very much. Now let's check some stock numbers, okay? After the Dow fell 61 points, 0.4% yesterday, stock index futures in the U.S. are down again now. The FT 100 in London is down 0.4%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.1%. Now, here's a early news flash. The economy of Nigeria will grow by 40% on December the 10th. Well, that's not actually wrong, technically. Nigeria, the most populous country in sub-Saharan Africa, is overhauling the way it calculates gross domestic product, or GDP, to make it more up-to-date. So will this help business and or the people of Nigeria? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
I provide everything we need as a family.
That's one of the things that will boost Nigeria's new GDP figure. TV and movies from Nollywood, the Nigerian Hollywood, that are exported across Africa. Fast-growing telecommunications will also help Nigeria catch up to South Africa, its biggest economic rival. But Hossein Askari at George Washington University says GDP doesn't make much difference. Foreign investors focus on infrastructure and rule of law.
Nigeria is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. There are internal conflicts, and there is a very, very large degree of poverty.
South Africa has a bigger middle class and better legal institutions, says Amadou Si at the Brookings Institution.
South Africa remains very important, but it's good to have also another champion.
For a continent that by 2050 will have a larger share of world population than China or India. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
In the new month on the way, some big-name technology companies plan to jump into the renewed push to overhaul American immigration law. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, along with people from LinkedIn, Groupon, Dropbox, are part of something to be called the Dreamers Hackathon. It's an event designed to connect people who came to the U.S. illegally as children with technology tools and projects to help them push for changes to immigration law. For more on this, let's turn to Stephen Keppel, who covers economics for Spanish language Univision News. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, David.
So give me a sense of why you think these tech companies would get involved.
There are a lot of immigrants in Silicon Valley. More than half of Silicon Valley startups have at least one immigrant as founder. This is definitely one of the reasons behind their success. You know, there's a lot of different ideas and there's this really entrepreneurial spirit. As well, especially for groups like Facebook and maybe LinkedIn, this is definitely great marketing and great business. Latinos are using social media at higher rates than any other group in the country. They're already a big block and they're, you know, the fastest growing demographic.
And what makes this particularly interesting is that traditionally you'd see tech companies focusing mainly on changing the immigration rules, reforming the immigration rules for more highly skilled and educated workers from overseas, you know, engineers coming in from India, for instance. But this effort at hand seems to go beyond that.
Yeah, it does. You know, I think it's something that's been recent to the last year or two where in some senses they just decided that you can't just go for this one section and say, hey, we're only for highly skilled immigrants. You know, the rest of them, you know, forget about it. And I think their message will resonate much more because it's more inclusive than being just specifically to, you know, the highly skilled immigrants that work in their companies.
So Mr. Zuckerberg at Facebook, and you have some of these other brand names, Groupon, LinkedIn, and so forth. These are significant companies with influence. Do you think this initiative has the capacity to move the needle at all on immigration reform?
It'll be interesting to see how it goes, but I don't think a whole lot is going to change in Washington. A lot of polls show that young people are for immigration reform, but not a whole lot of people are doing anything about it. You have, you know, some groups of immigrants, specifically the Dreamers, who have been very active and have been very savvy in the digital space. I think these companies maybe have seen that, or they've seen some other things that have worked, and they're saying, like, all right, how do we engage people? You know, they may be able to lay the groundwork for the future of social action in this country, utilizing what they know best, digital media, social media.
Stephen Keppel covers economics for Univision. Stephen, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
And some people who write reviews for free on Yelp, the restaurant and local commerce app, are suing to get paid. Yelp will point out that these are volunteers who should have known what they were getting into. But the class action suit references a description of Yelp as a, quote, 21st century galley slave ship with pirates banging the drum to keep up the fast pace to fill the pockets of stockholders with treasure, unquote. The suit also alleges that some of Yelp's social media reward system is cult-like, awarding digital trinkets, badges, and praise. Yelp calls the whole thing frivolous. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.